In your concern with shelters and all this sort of thing, how deeply do you get into child care centers?
I'm on I'm the past president of the Whale's Tail and a very active board member prior to being president and since being president. I'm not involved with the children in a direct way. I have never been. And it's Whale's Tail is a most of the people who have anything to do with the children are professionals. It's been a board responsibility, a big responsibility because it's gone from being this little bitty agency to this big agency now. But I actually never had anything to do with the children themselves.
Are they concerned? Is Whale's Tail concerned with daycare centers for children?
No, not at all.
Are they concerned in any way about the possibility of legislation for daycare centers?
That's not our bailiwick. We're so involved with getting enough money for the programs that we're running for adolescents that we are not involved in daycare at all. Now, I walk through a daycare center every time I go up to my Dollar Energy office because my Dollar Energy office is in Whiteman School where there's a big daycare center, but that's as close as I come to daycare.
So therefore, it's completely adolescent and has nothing to do with daycare and nothing to do with senior citizen programs.
That's right.
Let's get back to some personal notes here. All right, Ruth?
I was curious about how you met David.
Well, I first saw David at a party. And I wondered who that tall, good-looking guy was. And then I went back to college, and I didn't know anything about him until I came back. When I graduated from college in June of 1950 and went to Europe on a student tour that summer. And I came back to Pittsburgh 2 days late for my graduate school program at University of Pittsburgh, retail training. So that November of 1950, I got a call from a guy that I had dated with great regularity, and he wanted to fix David Simon up and go on a double date. I think we went to the concert, come to think of it. And that's really how I met him. I fixed him up with somebody else. And I didn't even know him, but I fixed him up with somebody else. And we went out in November of 1950, and we were married in October of 1951.
Socially, what sort of activities were there for you as you grew up and when you came back from college?
That's a good question. When I came back from college, I remember very clearly it was difficult. I was in this program that at times required a almost full-time commitment because it was a work-study program, as it would be known now. And during the Christmas, from like middle of November through Christmas, we worked in a department store, and the same was true in the spring. And it was very difficult because most of my friends were married. They had not completed college. Most of them were married, and it wasn't easy. We met people around University of Pittsburgh, and people were fixing you up. It was that kind of a thing. There was no mechanism If there was, I certainly didn't know about it, where you could go and, say, solicit or be part of a fundraising something or other so that you met other young people. There wasn't anything like that. I mean, there's, like, young business and professional people's stuff now at Federer. There wasn't anything like that. There wasn't anything like that, I have news for you, in 1970 either, when my daughter came back to Pittsburgh, and I went down to Federation, and I said, you know, here I have this nice Jewish girl who's at graduate school in Pittsburgh, and how is she supposed to meet people? She's been away for 4 years. And they didn't have anything then either. They've since developed some things, I think, I hope, because obviously very, very few of my contemporaries' children live in Pittsburgh. So I have to say, someone missed the boat. Maybe these kids would be in Pittsburgh. Probably not. But
doesn't the junior congregation at the temple take care of some of that?
I don't know. If they did, I don't know about it.
I think they do.
Maybe now.
There are efforts. I know how successful they are.
Well, I've seen more successful efforts now. I mean, I've seen Federation projects where they have some kind of an outing in one of the country clubs, where they, you know, and they are making more of an attempt. But I didn't. Those things were not available for a long time.
I think they use the mechanism you mentioned. Mm-hmm. People you knew fixed you up.
That's right.
That's how I met my husband.
That's right.
That's the way it was.
Mm-hmm. But you've traveled abroad.
Yes.
And you see the cultural differences. You go back to Pittsburgh. What do you think of the cultural life that is available in Pittsburgh?
I think Pittsburgh is one of the most wonderful places that anybody can live. I feel very lucky to live in this community. I feel this community is very special. We are a small town with big city privileges. We have a marvelous symphony and a wonderful museum and the zoo and the Pirates and the Steelers. And there's everything in Pittsburgh you could possibly want. The only thing Pittsburgh doesn't have is a seashore. We even have pretty good weather most of the time. It's truly America's most livable city. It's a beautiful city. Now, when you come look down on the three rivers coming together and the mountains rising, it's a wonderful place to live. And it has something here that my friends and I have discussed many times, because all our children live someplace else. And that is a camaraderie in our particular group that is second to none. My children refer to my friends as aunt and uncle. They feel very, very close. I was an only child, but they feel they have a family in Pittsburgh with all my friends. We are there for one another. Sometimes, I guess, it becomes intrusive. But for the most part, it is the most wonderful, warm, caring community. And I find this not just to be true in my own social group, where I have a lot of people I see I grew up with, but it's true throughout Pittsburgh, because I'm the one that's out there with the non-Jewish community, and they're a very caring group of people. Now, maybe it's because we have the largest senior citizen population outside of the South. Maybe it's because we have the largest ethnic population. Maybe it's because we have the largest Black Catholic population out of the South, out of New Orleans. I don't know why all these things are, but it is, and it's a fact. And this county. We're lucky to live in Allegheny County. We have more services. People don't realize the things available to you in this particular county that are not available in other parts of the United States. And through my National Call for Action work, and now through the National Fuel Fund, you know, I'm aware of how lucky we are. in the area that we live.
You mentioned the museum.
Yeah.
Do you have any contact with museum administration or any input there at all?
No, I don't. I've been into the social service end of charity as opposed to the cultural side.
Because the one criticism that we find from everybody is the lack of stature of the museum here.
Really?
Oh, yes.
Well, it's funny. I was just in France, and somebody, somebody had been in Pittsburgh for, it's hard to remember, just happened, that's why it's hard to remember, 5 years ago I remembered that, and they commented on what a lovely museum we had.
It is a lovely museum, but it has no stature.
Oh, well, I don't know about that sort of thing. I can talk about fuel funds, but I can't talk about...
I wondered if you were in any way
involved. And I know about a little bit about the symphony because that's been a part of my life, all my life. But I can't talk about...
Have you been active with the symphony in any way?
No. I leave that up to my friends. I'm in social services. I mean, human services, that's... I mean, if you went to one of the foundations in Pittsburgh to ask for money, there's usually somebody who's an expert in the cultural aspects and somebody who's in human services. That's my bailiwick. I have not gotten into any of the into that. Other wonderful people do
yes.
that sort of thing, and
everybody has their own area.
And I don't know how I got into this, but this is where I'm in. Human services.
Have anything else you want to ask, Ruth?
Yes, I think I have a
couple. We just had a National Fuel Fund conference in Pittsburgh last week.
Mm-hmm.
And I am pleased to report that Dollar Energy Fund, which is my major interest at this stage, is probably, it may not be the biggest in terms of dollars given away, but I think it's the biggest in terms of dollars donated by individuals. I know it is. We're a top fund in the country. The Philadelphia Fund is bigger because it has the gas works in Philadelphia, for example, as opposed to being Equitable and People's Gas, is owned by the city of Philadelphia. So they give an enormous chunk of money into this fuel fund because Pittsburgh has been outstanding. I'm very proud of my staff.
That Dollar
Energy Fund.
Brought in a great deal of money.
We gave away $1.75 million last year.
That's wonderful.
Yes, that's why I have what I've won the awards for, is Dollar Energy Fund.
You say gave away, you supported. This is money given to support people who need.
Right. What it is to be. I think I should probably put this down for you.
Yes. Yes. Please.
We ask the public to donate $1 for the out of luck. Add it onto your utility bill. And in fact, we really would like you to add more than $1 if you would be so inclined. We've now put in the fought with the utilities so that you can in fact add more than $1, as long as it's an even dollar amount. And we have our utilities in this area, and we are in 25 states, excuse me, 25 counties in Pennsylvania, matching us dollar for dollar up to a cap. For example, Duquesne Light will match us dollar for dollar up to $125,000. And People's Gas matches us dollar for dollar up to $250,000. And it's a, that's why I say when we give away money, we gave away a total of $1.75 million last year. Now, approximately half of that money we raised
by asking people to donate. But the other half is the match from the utilities.
How is that dispersed?
We have 25, we're in 25 counties. We have 60-some agencies scattered through these counties. People get an can come in and fill out an application,
at which point their whole income and expense history is taken. That application goes from the our agency, and we pay that agency $8 for taking that application. It comes to our central office, where we check with our computer on if we have donated to these people in the past, and how much, and when. And then we take the application, in the case of the utilities that are located in downtown Pittsburgh, to the utility to process and see what, in fact, is going on with that particular account. What is their payment history? How are they? What is the? What's happening? In the case of three of the other utilities, because we have six utilities, we now have a fax machine. That's our new.
Oh.
Addition, we fax them the account numbers, and they send us back payment histories on the fax machine. Oh, it's very up to date. I'm just so amazed. I can't tell you. And so what we work with when we decide how much to give to somebody is their payment history, as well as this application that they have filled out. And if it's a first-time applicant, even with a poor payment history, we have a tendency to be generous, because a lot of people, in our experience, have gotten into a hole, and they're in so deep, they feel that, what's the point of paying the utility bill? There's just no way I'm ever going to get caught up, and they stop paying. And we take that into consideration, and we do our best to help them if the first time they apply. They better not do that again, though. Once we have donated to a family, if we see that they have not made a good faith attempt to pay on their bill, we will not help again. We are very tough, and we have seen that, the results of that now, because we've just are completing our sixth year of people who we turned down last year, who have reapplied, and you see payments, and you're happy to help. Now, understand that the great bulk of the people who we help truly cannot afford to pay their utility bill. When you do their income and their expenses, it usually ends up being a negative figure. There's really nothing left. Obviously, the whole system would collapse in our country, and people, they eke out money here and there. And they do pay, and particularly senior citizens pay. You will find, with across the board, senior citizen would heat rather than eat, which is very depressing.
How do you work in conjunction with the lottery money?
We don't work in conjunction at all.
Theirs
we have
is a
found
separate thing.
Totally separate. We have has nothing to do with us. We have found that trying to get the senior citizen groups to possibly support us in some way, because a lot of our money goes to senior citizens, forget it. They don't want to be, they don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear it. They have their pet things, and they don't want to share. I don't blame them. And there's not enough money. There's just not enough money. We insist, we are a fund of last resort, that people take advantage of any government money that's available. And there are two slightly different, they're really the same, funding streams available for poor people with their utility bills. Where they must have done that first. It's called the Low Income Home Energy Assistance Program, known as, to all of us, as LEAP, LEAP, whatever. And they must have gotten that. I have had major fights in Harrisburg over this program. And we just finally won one. Not because I'm Betty Ann, but because I'm a volunteer, I carry a lot of clout in Harrisburg, which I try to use very carefully because I know it's not going to last very long. The first time I had a big hassle, see, this money is distributed by the Department of Welfare. And it traditionally has gone to people who have 150% of poverty or below, which that included senior citizens who had just Social Security, and people on welfare, and the unemployed, because Dollar Energy was started originally to help the unemployed, newly unemployed. And we found, getting involved in the bureaucracy, that frequently people would be encouraged by the system, not by anybody individually, but by the system, not to pay. So I fought for a new ruling that would make people eligible who in fact didn't have the money, who fell into the guidelines, but who had struggled to pay. That was a big battle. I wrote to 200 legislators and testified in Harrisburg, and we carried on like a lunatic, and the Department of Welfare people said, "What did you do this to us for?" I said, "Because you wouldn't respond in any other way until you bring political pressure."
What was the gain? I don't understand.
It made it possible for somebody to get help who didn't have a balance, who didn't have an outstanding. They wouldn't help somebody who had paid their utility bill, but maybe they hadn't eaten, but they paid their utility bill, which was true of a lot of senior citizens. They would no more not pay their utility bill than fly to the moon. So we said, if there's just a $200 balance, if they qualify, I'm not going to give away money to people who don't deserve it or need it. If they qualify, even if they've paid up on their bill, let them be eligible rather than have them stop paying their bill. Well, we got that through. Most of those offices don't let it be known that that's available, but we do. Now we just had an enormous hassle because they were so afraid in Harrisburg last year of the federal cuts, which were heavy, that they lowered the income eligibility from 150% to 135%. And they opened the program a month late. That cut out of the program senior citizens on Social Security and the newly employed, the very people that you'd want to help, who finally got a job and were back at work at small, maybe it wasn't minimum wage, but was the next thing to it. I cut them right out of the program. we had a fit, particularly when we found out that the state was going to have $10 million left over. Imagine! $10 million left over and they cut these people out. Well, again, we, throughout the state, carried on and threatened to go to the media and sent letters to key legislators, and we got it reversed. 1st of May, they went back up to 150%, and they extended the program for a month through May. And there's still going to be money left over because of how they did this. But they are not going to lower the guidelines for next year, so we're sort of semi-safe. See, we had a fight with the Harrisburg because we pointed out to them that they could use oil overcharge money, which I know is something, now I'm getting a little technical here, but I'd like to have this on the record. There was oil overcharge money available in Pennsylvania. There's also something called Title IVA money available in Washington. If you could put up money, Washington would match you dollar for dollar. We had this oil overcharge money that came into the state and was just sitting there. Why not use it to pull down these, double the money with the Title IVA money from Washington? We had to, I can't tell you what we went through last summer to get the governor of this state, Casey, to sign off on that. All his staff had passed it up. Everybody had passed it on up to, all was sitting on his desk for weeks. And of course, the longer he delayed, the longer, the harder it was going to be to get the money out of Washington. Finally, he signed off on that. So now we find ourselves in April of 1989 with this $10 million left over from the money from his cutbacks last year, and knowing that this oil overcharge money and this Title IVA money was going to come into the state. So it was more than $10 million. It was going to be somewhere $14, $16 million. We don't have the figures. I don't have the figures yet, but that's
a big job done.
Yes, it has been a big job, and there have been a lot of, there's the young woman, she's a lawyer who runs the Philadelphia Fuel Fund. She and I make a good team because she's a young, dynamic lawyer with a staff and working in Philadelphia. And I'm this old housewife in Pittsburgh, and we sort of make a good team. I'm big and she's little, and she's a professional and I'm the volunteer, and we sort of make a good team in Harrisburg.
You know, this puts to rest my question when I said to you, are you involved politically at all? And you said no. I would say you're over your ears.
Yeah, I guess you're true. I guess you, that's true. And I was just thinking that I stay away from backing candidates. But because I'm a, I want to be able to go to Senator Fisher in Harrisburg, who's a big Republican, with the same ease that I go to Commissioner Forrester in Pittsburgh. He happens to be, by the way, Commissioner Forrester, one of our big boosters. All I have to do is pick up the phone and call Bobby Nelkin, who is a wonderful young man, who's Commissioner Forrester's head of human services, and if they possibly can be of assistance to Dollar Energy or to Whale's Tail, they will, and it's been very gratifying. In turn, I have to show up at things that they do.
Fundraisers?
They've never done that to me, but that Bobby's responsible for there's a training course every year in Pittsburgh called Leadership Pittsburgh that I don't know whether you know about or not. It costs $1,500 to take the course, and they are very selective on who they pick to actually take the course. It's young people in the different phases of the community, whether it's health services or government or lawyers or bankers or politicians, all, you know, young people. And it's I think it meets once a month. They have different topics. Might be one month it's economic, one month it's I don't know. But one month it's human services. And Bobby Nelkin, in charge of human services for Allegheny County under Commissioner Forrester, he always makes me talk as I show up there for Bobby, because he loves the idea that I'm a volunteer and Dollar Energy was started by a volunteer. And so, you know, I try to.
One hand washes the other.
Yeah, try to show up for
him.
He is
a beautiful.
He is.
End of side two, take two. Continued on tape three.
I think he likes me. Yeah. And I love his father, and I love his mother too. I've known Irene Ogden. Yeah. It's great.
Any other information that you feel we may have overlooked that you would like to give to us?
Yes. I would like to tell you, if I didn't tell you, stop me if I did, about Action Housing.
No, please do.
Because of my involvement with